Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, Andre.
Everything going well, Rob?
Yes. My granddaughter just left this morning after being here for a week, so we had the best time ever.
And when are you going to go and visit her?
She's 4 years old, and we had the best time. She's just wonderful. She's in Nashville, Tennessee, so we will visit her soon again. So how was your week? What's on your mind?
My week was good. We're gonna be starting with acquisition. I have some doubts on that, and I want to know your idea of. I found a friend that he is going to. He's retiring, and he told me I will give you a list of some of clients that I know that you could help. That's only it's gonna be the name and the phone. That's it. Nothing else. But with that, I have never received something like that. And I would like to know how would you manage it. Only name and phone.
Yes, I would, would he sign a letter of introduction?
No. He is retiring, he's on his 68, and he just told me, Amanda, are you in?
Yes, sorry, I'm making a call. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you. And you?
Good, fine, thank you.
And what he told me is, a friend, I will not pay him anything, but he told me I will give you name and phone numbers. Not a letter of introduction, no nothing. If you want to use it, you can use it. It's going to be like, he told me between 15 and 20 names.
Okay.
From LATAM. And I don't know how to use it because...
All right, are they in Chile?
No. They are in Central America.
They are in where?
In Central America.
Central America. So,
yes.
Guatemala? All one place or?
No. It's going to be all around. Guatemala, Costa Rica, Salvador, and Nicaragua, he told me.
Roger. Okay. And what are they are they qualified people?
Oh, yes. Yes. The smallest one that I told him that the minimum account that I wanted was 5 million, and he told me every name that I will give you holds with my bank at least 5 or more.
Oh, good. Okay. And these are really qualified. Okay.
And he told me that there was one that it's over 50.
Wow. Okay. All right. So first thing we're going to do is we're going to look each one up. Okay. Going to do research on them.
Okay. In Google.
All right. So you're going to Google them, right? You're going to Google them, and you're also going to look for somebody on LinkedIn. You're going to look on LinkedIn for them.
Okay.
And then when you look on LinkedIn, I would just go ahead and try and connect. Well, there's a couple ways to do it. If you look on LinkedIn and look at all the people that they are associated with, you might find someone that you have a mutual, that would be willing to introduce you.
Okay, but please remember that this is Central America. Nobody want to know that you are managing your money with somebody outside. If I
okay.
go to LinkedIn, could be if I find a really close friend or client that I could ask for the introduction, but I think it would be rare to find that.
Okay. Well, let's look anyway before we do anything. Let's just do the homework.
Okay.
Look them up. See if there's any connection that, where you could comfortably call them or, you know, have something in common. Let's see if we can figure out a reason to call somebody on the list. Okay. So we're looking for any mutual connections, any, you know, anything that makes sense. And let's do that homework first.
Okay.
That would give me, you got to give me a little more here to go on, because, you know, outright calling them, I'm not sure, I mean, it could work, you know, but it, I'd like to get something better than just a cold call.
Agree with you, because a cold call can get you in a bad moment. The
right.
phone number that he's gonna give me, I don't know if he's gonna give me the personal the personal cellular, or he's gonna give me. Actually, I don't know what he's what. If I call him, it could be that it's gonna be a bad moment. What I thought is creating a trip and calling them to tell them that I'm gonna be in the country and I would like to sit with them.
That's a good idea. I think that's great. It's a cold call, but it's a cold call with a purpose.
Yes.
So let's do our homework first. Okay? Get the list. Look them up. Google them. Look them up on LinkedIn. Even look them up on Facebook.
Okay.
Okay? And see if there's anything mutually, you know, anything you have in mutual, that you have in common. And then let's get back, let's, when are you thinking, about, when are you getting the list, and how soon do you want to act on it, etc.?
It's supposed to late this week, I was going to get the list.
Yeah.
If you want, once I get it, I can let you know.
You know, you can also ask his advice.
I can ask him the advice of
he's giving you the list and he's giving you the phone numbers. There's nothing wrong with asking him, even though he said, I cannot introduce you. You could ask his advice. You know, if you were me and you had this list, what would you do with it?
Okay, I could, and I told him to, actually when we start talking about this, I told him that it would be great if he can tell me a little bit of the client.
Sure.
And he told me that he preferred not to do it because in that case he will be soliciting in some way or another the,
yeah. Okay.
the regulation. Okay. And it sounds so professional that I told him, okay, you're right.
That's okay, but you can still ask him if he were you, how would he use the list?
Okay,
because he knows them. I mean, he knows the best way to do it. He would know a lot better than I would, but so the first thing you gotta ask that question.
Okay, let's see what he comes up with then.
Yeah. And he likes you enough. He's willing to give you this list. That's a lot.
Yes. But
yeah, he wants to help you.
Yes.
So the question is, you know, how is, you know, without something to go on here, it makes the list harder to use.
Agree. It's gonna be. I thought the only thing that I'm thinking is doing that cold call just to try to arrange a meeting and be prepared when they say no. I have already solve that problem? How can I create? I have never done it. Normally, my growing is with referrals from clients. That way, they do 70% of the work.
Yeah, yeah. That's what they should. That's the way this is supposed to work. So we need a little help here. So just let's see if we can get some help from him in terms of strategy.
Okay. But imagine, just to make you think, but you don't have to answer me now, but how would you do it? How it was done 30 years ago when everybody was doing cold calling. When I started in this business, we were not doing cold calling because in LATAM, that was not correct to do, at least where I started in Citi.
Right.
Do you have any idea or have you find somebody that knows how to do that? Because the first answer will be no. No, I don't need it. No, I already have everything settled down with my bank. How can I get around that no and bring it as a yes and get the meeting?
Well, I mean, we want to establish something in common, okay? So you're going to need to know who these people are, what they have in common. Money is attracted to good ideas, okay? So, you can, either you're the good idea, or you make a product or service the good idea. So, when I cold call, I invited them to something. To a seminar on something interesting. I would offer them an interesting investment. You know, a tax-free bond or new issue, in an area, you know, commission-free new issue. So those were the kind of the products I offered. And the service I offered was information and education about Social Security or investment or retirement or something like that. And I think those are still valid. The question is, you know, it's important to know more about the client and think about what business he's in. So let's say they were in the...
Okay, let's do an example. Let's do something. Let's imagine that this guy, my friend, he told me, okay, we sit on the table, we have some lunch, and he tells me, okay, this person is a huge textile company that he owns in, I don't know, Guatemala. Then he tells me he's married with two kids, and that's it. That sounds good. I mean, I know that he's in the tech field. But anyway, he doesn't give me any tool where to grab it. I think it's a great idea to find something in common, and I could go in that case through my background. My descendant comes from the Arabic world, from the Middle East, and many of these people, they are from the Middle East. Could be that there. I can do the click, but it has to be something good. And the question goes directly in the way how to manage a cold call, because I don't have any experience on that.
Yeah. Well, generally, the most important thing is to get them, if you can get them talking, Andres, you know that. I mean, the idea of a cold call is to get the person talking and then to qualify them. These are already qualified, so it's not like, so your purpose is to get an appointment. Okay?
Okay.
So I like the idea that you're going to be there. and that you'd like to see him, and you have, you know, resources for him that would help him. The question is, what are those resources, and how can you help him? Right? That's what you got to figure out in a very short time in that conversation. But so we still need more. I need a hook. Even I need a hook. You know, it's hard for even me, who's, you know, kind of an authority on this, to teach you how to do it without getting more of a hook.
I could study the bank in that case.
Yeah, you
they
could
are coming from Deutsche Bank, and Deutsche Bank is a German bank that they
right.
do not have. I don't know what they don't have that we do.
Well, that's your job then, to find that out.
Okay, that could work, because I will have the resource that you are saying that we have and they don't.
Right. And, you know, Deutsche Bank has been in some trouble. I mean, look at the price, right, of their stock. And, you know, they had to, you know, they have not done that well. So I think that there's probably quite a bit that they don't have that you have.
I will study that part. Could work. And the people from the this list is from Julius Baer. They are pretty good, but I will have to find there something. But do you recommend something else for cold calling for a qualified investor?
You're thinking right, okay? You're thinking correctly. So we just need more information before we can develop a good strategy. So
okay.
The idea that you know what bank they're at, you know what they have and what they don't have. And therefore, you offer them the things that they don't have. You don't really sell against them. You don't tell them, you know, Deutsche Bank is bad, we're good. What you say is, Deutsche Bank is great, but there's, you know, at the time, they were pretty cutting edge. But today, you know, there's a lot of things that we're offering that they're not. And here's an example. And what I'd like to do is just have the opportunity to meet with you and get to know you and make sure that it would be a good fit for us, and then give you the opportunity to see what we have to offer. Now, do they lend money to them?
Yes, they do.
Okay.
Well, actually, today, almost any bank knows lend money. Today, I think that's a disadvantage in Morgan Stanley.
Yeah. Yep.
We are not a bank, but it is starting right now. It is starting to create that business, but we are in pampers. We have to take some years to get better on that, but or at least month, 6 months, 8 months. The team is already in place. It's working in Morgan. But that's not an advantage that I can play with today. Something that, for privacy, there are some banks that they still do not offer paperless. That could work. Help them with advice how to create companies if they have their accounts under their names. Trying to offer service more than products. And once we get in products, I can go through the alternative investment world where nobody is running that business. Everybody loves bonds and stocks. Not only a few people talk about private equity, some good hedge funds with 20, 25 years of track record, or some tax advantages, something like that, I think that it could help the speech to catch the attention.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, you could call all 20 and not end up with anything. And that's what you have in your mind, you have to go into it thinking, honestly, I'm sorry, but you need to think that way. Otherwise, you'll over-examine everything. You got to say to yourself, you know what? I'm going to do my best. I'm going to call them. If they say no, I'm moving on. That's the key to cold call. The key to cold calling is your ability to handle rejection and keep moving and not worry about it.
Okay.
And you're not making an enemy. You're just simply, they're saying no, and you're saying, fine, not at this time. Okay. We'll keep in touch. And if I can ever be of service, I'm going to forward you my information. And then you just go on. You don't worry.
I think that I have a tool that it could help people like me. Like, when somebody call me on a cold call, I am busy. I am interested on what they can offer. But I'm not sure at this moment. And if they give me the information, once the email is received, I forget it.
Right.
It could be really helpful, but I don't have the time to take care about that. What I thought about doing is getting the email of the client and make a prospecting list of good quality information of markets of Morgan Stanley and send them every 15 months, every 15 days, once a week or once a month, some information that goes with my name.
Yeah. Here, it's always the same. All right, so I have clients now that make 100 phone calls a day, 100 cold calls, and they get 2 to 3 people that are interested out of the 100. And they follow up, and they will have, of the 10 prospects, they will open up 3 accounts. Okay? So, just think about that. You know, if you call 100 and you end up with 3, out of those 3, it takes you 3 days to open up 1 account of calling 300 people a day. I mean, 300 people in 3 days. So, I mean, you know, so when you get 20 names and you think, oh, I didn't open up any of them, you don't worry about it. It's a numbers game, and you don't have enough numbers here. Even though they're highly qualified. Making them highly qualified even makes it harder because you know they have someone that they already are happy with, you know, usually. So you can't, unless you get a personal introduction with an endorsement, it's not, you could go into the directory and find the owner of textile companies and know that they probably have 5 million. I mean, so there's not that much difference between getting these names and phone numbers and doing it on your own with a phone book, you know. So I wouldn't worry, you know, I would do just what we talked about. Do your homework. Try and use your creative mind. Find the difference between their bank and your bank. Make the call. Try and get the appointment. Tell them you're going to be in the area. See if there's some kind of hook you can use. And they say no, then fine, mail to them. But you don't want to waste too much time mailing to people that aren't interested. That's a trap, okay?
Okay, perfect. That's the first subject. Thank you for that. I have a second one that I am prospecting. And I need to do it right because this one is a huge account. It's a pension plan. That they don't have any experience. They don't know anything about investing in outside their countries because the laws didn't allow to do that way. Otherwise, they invest only in local debt. Right now, the law will change. I think it will be sometime soon, June, July, August this year. Once the law changes, I am already one step ahead. I'm trying to open an account.
Sure.
Before that goes, we have had some conversation with the people in charge, but I would like to know your opinion on how to handle a non-experienced pension plan investing overseas for the first time.
Do you specialize in pension plans for people overseas?
No. I don't know nothing about that, but...
All right, so is there someone there that does that?
Yes. Yes, they are. But the input that I have received is that... otherwise, I wanted to talk to you about this. The input that I had two meetings last week with the Morgan Stanley Investment Management. It's a team that manages the mutual funds, and they can run everything for them. They can create the portfolios, blah, 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 blah. Also, I had a meeting with BlackRock, that they offered me exactly the same, that they can do it for these people through our platform, and I just can get behind scenes and they do it. The problem of bringing some other companies to the play, in this game, Morgan Stanley will be cheaper than BlackRock. BlackRock will be 16 basis points more expensive to manage money through our platform. And that is risky because BlackRock can go directly to the pension plan. Otherwise, I have two choices here. Or, first of all, I let Morgan Stanley manage everything.
Yep.
But they are not good at everything in the mutual fund space. Actually, they are not really, really good in three or four areas that I will need somebody to do it. What I can make on that business is like 10 basis points for the whole amount. 10 basis points for me, it is absolutely nuts, because what I'm looking is to always maintain a ROA between 80 and 85 cents, at the least 75. Going to a pension plan for a 10 basis points, it doesn't make much sense. And the what they told me, it was last week, don't do it that way. Do it as an advisory account where you create the five portfolios, you charge 50 basis points, they go directly to institutional funds, and you make the five class A, B, C, D, and E of risk. Being A, the more conservative, B, or E, the more aggressive. And you just charge 50 cents for the whole amount.
Yeah.
And you gave them international custody. You let them have five or six accounts with different profiles, each one. You go and visit them, and you try to justify why you are charging that 50 cents.
Okay, so the 50 cents would include the 10 basis points or 15 basis points or no?
No, it will be on top. It will be if the institutional mutual funds, they charge between 40 and 50 cents, or between 40 and sometimes they are at the equity, they are 70 on the institutional side.
Yeah.
But it will be between 35 and 70 cents on the total expense ratio of the mutual fund, plus the 50 cents for custody, rotation, management, research, and all that we are going to put on top. That is, when I received the information that I received last week, that it was a fair price. but mm-hmm. I'm not sure about that. We're talking about a pension plan that could start with, and also they are in conversations with some other players that they could offer, like Blackstone, BlackRock could go directly through ETFs. Yep. We can do that exactly the same. And they don't know, they don't need to go to BlackRock or the iShares or something like that. They can go through us, do portfolios with iShares, and that's it. And we manage all that and we custody all that. We can get the whole business easily if I do it the right way.
How big is the plan?
It will go the minimum. It will be 50 million. The maximum, it will be 1.5
billion.
1.5
billion.
That is, right now they are managing 10.5 billion. And the law will say exactly the same what it says in LATAM, in all the other countries in LATAM, that once it changes, it will change to a 20 or 30% that they can go overseas. But the small letters of that law says that only they can manage the money through mutual funds, register mutual funds and ETFs. That's it. Otherwise, if you put in perspective, the size of this business is 20, 30%, let's say 25% of that 10.5 billion that they have to go outside is 2.5 billion that they have to go outside. The first international account that they will have is this one. It's the one in Morgan Stanley. That way, if you go short and you can get half of that business, we're talking about 1.2 billion. If you can go long, it's even better. I am part owner of that company. In the list of the ownership, I am the smallest of the smallest, but I am in the list.
Ah. Is that a conflict of interest?
No, it's not, because that was traded publicly when we traded, and now there's no market to buy or sell. But when you want to sell it, it should have to be publicly. And my percentage is 0.00 something.
Okay.
So,
who's giving you advice at your firm on this?
Nobody. That's a problem.
Why not?
Huh?
Why not? Have you not gone to your manager?
Yes, but he doesn't know how to do this one. I have a meeting with him this week, another time, but I think that I will have to go somewhere else. I don't want to let this business go away. I will have a meeting. The last time that I asked Nico about this, I asked him about if he knows. He told me that he didn't know. Otherwise, I went outside. I did some turnarounds outside.
Yeah.
But I didn't find much, because nobody, if there's not their business or they are not getting anything of that business, I do not get much answers on that. I will go this week again, because this is brand new. I'm just having all the paperwork ready. This company sent all the paperwork to Morgan. We have all that. We are preparing the documents for them to sign the account. But we just have all that, and I'm in a place right now to go and knock the door and say, okay, we have something.
Yeah.
Let's work on this one, but with knowledge. Here in Morgan, if I bring somebody that has experience on this kind of businesses, normally it will take a big part of the of that 50 cents. And if we charge 25 cents, yeah, the business goes way high, you're going to have all the players interested in this business. And they're charging 10 cents, it will be hard. Right now that it's starting, you can do 50 cents. But imagine, if this goes up, and I bring a partner, and we do, I don't know, he takes a part of this deal, and we are dividing 10 cents, and he takes 5 and I take 5, I think I did a really big mistake from the start.
Yeah, the only problem is that you don't know, you don't do this business. You see, if you had 10 of these accounts now, I would say go. Good. You're qualified. You can give references. You're good at this. Okay? But you've never done this. Okay? And you want to represent yourself as well as you can. Don't think about the money. Think about if you were doing a favor for them and you were going to do the exact right thing for them, who would you bring it in? Assuming, don't think about money. You're not doing it for the money. You're doing it as a favor. Who would you bring in and how would you do it? Okay, that's the way I want you to think on this. I don't want you to think about the money. I know that's hard, but here's what will happen. If you do a good job, you will have a great reputation. If you do it in a shallow way that looks like you're out for yourself, you could hurt your reputation, and you'd get no more of this money. If you do it right, you may get lots more of this money. If you do it wrong, that'll be all you'll get, and you'll probably end up losing that. So the point is, do it right. Okay, do it as if you were doing it for your father. Okay? For your father is a good example. Your father works there. He's in charge. He will give it to you. Now, what's the right thing to do to make sure his reputation, and you can put it up, you know, I always say, 50-yard line of the Rose Bowl. You're going to be representing and tell the story. Is there anybody that can shoot you down? Or do they say, oh, he took advantage of the situation, he charged too much, and he screwed those people? You don't want to do that. It's too public.
I agree, absolutely. That way, the result that I told you, it was from the people that I told, they told me 5 scenarios. And the one that I told you is the lowest in fees that they are charging right now. And is the right because on the people that will be managing the portfolios, it's not going to be even me. Going to be a team that is behind. It's Andrew Morgan Stanley who I will be paying them to do it, but that's more reasonable because I will be paying 20% of all the revenue. If it's 50 cents, they will keep 10. But if I bring a team, they will try to get 40 cents and I will keep 10.
Yeah, I know.
And I think that
I think you can do it because it's new for them and it's new for you. But you've got to have somebody on your team that's experienced, either the BlackRock or Morgan Stanley. You can't be the guy.
Agreed.
You can be the representative, but you cannot be the authority. So when you make your presentation, you should have someone with you.
I agree with you. Absolutely agree.
Okay. So, you know, these are the situations I got involved in as a manager. And, you know, we go back and forth on them and finally come up with the best solution. But this is actually a very good situation for Nico to get involved in. Because it's just one other smart person sitting there at the table, you know, that is looking out for you. And so that's why I asked you if you had talked to him.
I have this week. This week I need to talk to him about this more seriously with the documents on our side.
Yeah.
Let's see how it goes.
Yeah, look at the best solution for the client. Okay, it's always the way to do it on these things. Instead of, you know. you don't want to screw yourself.
Rope.
But on the other hand, I've seen people get 100% of zero because they didn't use the best tools. You know,
absolutely.
So I'd rather, yeah, you don't want to get 100% of zero.
I 3 years ago, I was sitting with a bank, the most important bank in the country, and they told me that they have this account with Morgan Stanley. When I saw the account, they were only Class C, that's the most expensive mutual funds, on a trade that it was $100 million. Finally, after that, I get out of the meeting, and I told them that I cannot manage anything, that we cannot talk again because they already have. They have a financial advisor from Morgan Stanley.
Yeah.
3 years later, that financial advisor is sued, and it's right now in FINRA having huge trouble because you cannot sell the most expensive mutual fund to a pension fund.
Right. Oh, yeah, it's dangerous.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm telling you this for you not to worry. We are going to do the best that I can for for the client, but
good.
I want to be intelligent from my side from the start, because if I give the business if I bring the most expensive people to work on this, they're going to get the whole pie, and after we started, I cannot go down. I cannot get anything back. I want to bring the smartest people getting the smallest part of the business.
Yeah, that's fair. It's fair, and that's where you need your manager backing you up, you know, and helping you with the judgment on this. Because, look, you see the pie and you see the number and you go, oh, my God, you know, it's going to change my life. And honestly, that those dollar signs can screw up your judgment. So you want to have somebody else there thinking in your best interest, but long term, that how are we going to get the business and keep the business forever?
I agree.
Okay?
I agree. I provide absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. We started doing business with unions, which was the same kind of thing. We'd never done business with unions, very little at Merrill Lynch. And we ended up being one of the biggest, you know, biggest people in the union business. But that was all relationship driven. You know, it was, we did a great job for them, and we did consulting services, meaning we provided the service, charged them a fee, and then hired money managers. And so I'm very familiar with it. But my familiarity is domestic, you know, in terms of pensions. But we were in the billions. You know, the National Sheet Metal Workers Union, $10 billion, you know, so it was very big. And that person is now, if you look on the Barron's list, I think he's number two. He works, he works at Morgan Stanley. His name is Craig Dobbs, D-O-B-B-S. And he worked for me. I hired him and gave him a start. And now he's the second biggest institutional producer. He works, I think they call it Greystone at Morgan Stanley. So I'm very familiar with the business. Anyway, it's again a situation where I think with Nico being on the ground, and Nico can call me. I have a meeting with Nico every week. So, you know, we can talk about it. He can give me more information, ask my advice too on that. Okay?
Okay, sounds perfect.
Good consulting opportunities here. Very good. What else? You have another one?
No. Each one of these ones takes me a long time to find them.
Right. I know. It's like you're being very prolific here. You're getting great opportunities, which we love.
Well, I can use your advice. Yes, I have another one.
Okay, good. That's what I'm here for.
It was, Nico presented me, this was like a month ago, he introduced me to a person that he works in another bank that Nico was thinking about recruiting him.
Yeah.
We started Nico interviewed him, then I interviewed him. He is not the sharpest guy in the street for sure. He will be a great second guy, not a first one.
Yeah.
He will never be a first one. For the attitude at life. But he will be a really good one second. But he made a huge mistake, a rookie mistake, that cost him his head. That we are not gonna hire him. But I wanna know, how do you see him? Normally, when you are bringing somebody to a firm, what you ask him is, tell me, who are your assets? Client one has 100 million. Client two has 50 million. Client three has 1 million. Blah, 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 blah. And they bring you in an iPad, or they bring you in a paper that they create, nothing from the firm.
Right.
Okay. This guy, he didn't, it was because he's rookie, but anyway, he's rookie when he's 43 years old. He has been working in banks since the last 12 years. Even more, could be 14. He is 7 and 63. He has been, right now he's managing 150 million from Chile.
Yep.
We could do a lot of synergy with him, but he brought some papers from the other firm.
Yep.
To show me some information. He swore me that he didn't print anything, that it was somebody else, that he can find anything that he wants, that we want, but he didn't print it because it's such a mess, the other bank, that anybody can print anything from any account. They don't have any restrictions inside.
Yeah.
That's why somebody from technology can print something and give it to you. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if we were doing the right thing, or we were, or it could be that we made the mistake. Because every time that you ask to recruit somebody, you were a manager, you ask him, tell me what you have. And they bring a small idea of what they have.
Yeah.
What he brought, it was a full idea of what he has. Absolutely detailed.
The whole thing.
That way, when I saw that, I was like, wow, this is a red flag, but it could be that I am rookie on recruiting people also.
Right.
This is a red flag because if he is capable of bringing this, he could be capable of it, of some other distractions on the information of the bank that could hit on me if he is part of my team.
Yeah.
But it could be that I was wrong. It could be that that's normal and I have never seen it. I don't know how you see this.
So what was the bank? Because Nico and I talked about some bank that he was recruiting from, but now they can't. They're restricted from recruiting from.
Oh, no. This was HSBC. No, this bank is no problem to recruit, I think. The people is moving, the bank is closing some offices, and I think that's not the problem. The problem was that when we talked with Nico, I don't know if me and him made a mistake and closed the door too fast, because a rookie mistake.
So, what, did Nico reject him because he took the papers, or is it still pending?
No. Actually, we talked last week and we said, okay, we're going to close the subject. Let's not do it, because if something goes on in the future, and we knew that he brought two boxes.
Yeah, if he brings the boxes, then you guys are in trouble, right? Yeah.
But it would be exactly the same if we didn't see it. When I close my eyes and say, okay, he was...
Here's what I would do. Here's what I would do. I would ferment the situation. Okay?
You will what? You will what? I'm sorry, I didn't understand that. You will what?
Do you know the term fermenting?
No.
It means to, it's when you let alcohol become more mature and let the alcohol come out. So you let it ferment for a while. It means it let it sit. So I would let him sit for a while, unless he's going to a different firm. But let it sit. Make it clear he made a mistake. Put everything back. Okay? And then let some time go on. You know, 3 months, something like that. And then start up again. And this time, no papers. Okay? Just as if you never saw them. Because everything would have changed in 3 months. New statements, new L. So you didn't have anything, and you never did take anything. So that's what I would do. I would wait 3 months. 3 months, tell him to wake up and not be stupid, don't take anything, nothing, we cannot see anything, and then start over again. Okay? And that way, you know, it was, you know, old news.
I will, for this week's meeting with Nico, I have two important subjects in that case. I don't want to be, for me being rookie, I will close somebody's opportunities. He brought the paper.
He made a mistake. The question is he stupid, and he's going to make other mistakes when he's working for you, or is, you know what I mean? How do I say it? Is he a,
no.
You know,
you kick right there in the name. That is exactly what gets to, what did get me on my no. When I say no, it was because
or
of
is
that.
He, or is he as does he have larceny in his heart? Is he a criminal or is he stupid? You got to eliminate those two. If he's stupid or a criminal, you cannot take it.
I think he's a little bit stupid in that case. I don't see him as a criminal. I think he's a good guy. He wants something different, but I think that he's not the best number one because if he has been doing, I know somebody that started with him a long time ago, and right now the guy that started with him, it is like me, and this other guy, he's still in that boat, pretty alone.
Can you talk to the other guy and ask him if he's stupid?
Yes. I asked two of the guys. One told me that he's a great guy, and the other one told me that he's a really good second guy. Never will be number one. And that works with me. I don't have any more than that.
Yeah, guys can be second and be very smart. They just aren't good closers. They're not good with something. You know, they don't have the courage. There's something holding them back. But if it's stupidity, you don't want anything to do with that. Okay? If it's because he doesn't have the charisma, the chutzpah, you know, the energy. Energy is important, too. You got to have somebody with energy. So, but if he just doesn't have the ability to close or he's scared, then he's fine. He'd make a good number two. But if he's stupid, or he's lazy, or he's a criminal, no. Do not take him.
But look at my risk. If we hire him,
I know.
And we bring some others. Right. And then he doesn't go with the program, he's out.
I know. But it's a bad deal. Don't do it. Seriously, for Nico, do not do it. There's another case where you have to put your firm, your you know, the whole world ahead of you and say, you know, it isn't, we don't want to have a bad experience. We don't hire bad guys. So there are plenty of good guys. We'll wait till we get a good guy. But if he's going to be a good guy, in the end, great. But if he's not smart enough, or he has a problem with judgment, or he's lazy. No, I don't care how many assets he has. Bad idea. Because you're stuck with him. And he's not, it's not going to work out. It's not going to be a good experience. You don't have enough time for that. Always surround yourself with good people. That's critical. Okay?
Okay, perfect. That will do. It was a great class today. It was a master class.
Well, I wish I had more definitive answers for you, but let's do some more homework. And I'm a good coach for you. I love your opportunities. They're fabulous. I just need you bring Nico in and keep consulting with him. He's very smart. He's very very reliable. Think of him as a young Rob. He's very good. I think he's one of the best I've ever met in the business. So rely on him. Okay.
Perfect. I will.
All right.
Rob, thank you very much for your time and your help. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Amanda, thank you. We will talk
to
you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Amanda.